And I assume that we're going to start recording.
Yes.
Under control. I'll just get my own meeting stuff open. So I'll declare the meeting open. I'll call for any apologies.
Councillor Greg Pearg.
Move that that be accepted. Councillor Bakler and Councillor. Yeah. Never get to call him that. Declarations of interest. Take that as nil. We'll move on to the one item that is in the closed section of today's meeting, of the extraordinary meeting, I should just add. And it's the support of quarry products.
Can we get a mover and a second?
Can I move it? We get
any claims? Oh, okay. Sorry, I should do that. Councillor. Now we'll move on to the open section of today's meeting. So there's two reports there to be considered. One is the first one is the presentation of the submission in response to the Inland Rail Narromine to Narrabri environmental impact statement.
Yeah, councillors, Ren and I will tag team on this, but essentially the report gives you an overview of the process with the assessment of the EIS. It's been an enormous task, and we did engage contractors to assist with that. We've put together the draft, and I suppose really this meeting is if there's anything further discussion in relation to our submission around the EIS, or if there's any additional things that council feels that we should be including, happy to have that discussion now.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. GM. There's everyone's had a look at the report that's been prepared. Has anyone got any questions in regards? I've got a couple that I'd like to raise. And I'm happy to go first if anyone's... One of those is I don't think there's any consideration at all, or very much a lack of consideration put into local participation and the delivery of those requirements, and it's something that this council has probably been quite passionate about. And then the other point that I take out of it is in regards to grade separation. And whilst there has been a commitment from the federal government to fund grade separation, possibly in our shire, but if it doesn't happen in other shires, the impact that could play on our local road network. And the point that I'd probably like to explain that by in saying is I use the Narromine to Yermundury road that if it's copping quite a lot of traffic now from interstate trucks that are not necessarily going through Dubbo as part of the new highway, that all of a sudden if they start getting held up because there's an active level crossing and not grade separation there, that all of a sudden those trucks start going further west, and what I see pretty regularly being based at Armatry is we have a large number of, you know, torque liners and those sorts of type trucks, general freight trucks, that actually come off the highway at West Wyalong, come up through Trangie, Collie, across the Beretta Buller Green Road, and through Armatry and back onto the Castle Road Highway. So what I'm saying is if grade separation doesn't get approved in other localities across the state, it's going to play havoc on our own road network.
If they don't get grade separation, they need to think about having a slow lane, like you put a piece of machinery there and you take off, you're at the front, well, you're going to slow everything, traffic down, getting over the railway line. So,
yeah.
And it needs to be redesigning the highways, especially the busy roads.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, there's a section where it's raised about what's called in the transport section, where it's called unintended consequences, community unintended consequences, and what can be added there is the section on both the impact on local roads hierarchy and the grade separation. So it's a technical analysis of those issues, but some commentary around it can be added to that.
Yeah, please do. Has anyone got any other comments that they want to raise just in regards to, or any points that they'd like to see added in regards to the submission?
I didn't notice anything on the fencing where the railway line joins the Shire Roads. Are they going to keep that fence? I'd say that National Park Road, there's existing boundary fence. There's a railway line in the paddock. So is that fence going to be maintained or is it pulled in? Because there's like people shifting stock. There's only one crossing. It might be shared between two neighbours. They might have to travel down the road to get to that crossing.
Yeah, fair point.
They do have a guidance note or fact sheet on for landholders on what sort of fences they have to put up. But that's a good point. We can, if it's not in there, we'll double check that and raise that. That's no problem.
Because they haven't got it. There is down on North Mullis is down the Cuthbert Highway. There's no fence there between the railway line and that's a busy highway.
Yep.
Just on smaller Shire Roads.
That's a good example. Any further questions?
I'll just make a comment. I've studied that draft report. I think it articulates all the relevant issues. It does address, Ash, the matters that you raised in various ways, the impact upon local roads and the grade separation. Unfortunately, the issue of grade separation still remains an unknown factor based on the EOS and the draft submission from council. So obviously that would be a matter for further, it would appear to be a matter for further representation or consideration. But from an overall perspective, I think the draft report identifies all issues relevant to council, and I think it has been prepared in a very professional manner. And I've had some brief discussions with Randall, and obviously the executive summary I think will be critical to the way in which it's assessed down the track by those who make decisions on the responses.
Thanks, Councillor McElwain. Can I add that the company that we've used to prepare this has pulled together a team of 9 specialists, and each of those people are specialists in their own areas. One in, you know, whether it be cultural impact assessment, hydrology, climatologists, environmental planning consultants in biodiversity and ecology, civil engineering, agricultural impact assessment, strategic and social impact planners, rail experts, project managers, and water and licensing. So that's the sort of skill set that we had engaged around this to provide us with this very comprehensive, what I think is a very comprehensive response to the EIS. Whilst the EIS itself is lacking with the detail, and I think we've made that clear through the document that the content is lacking on detail. The next phase with all these plans is going to burden this council continually with the reviewing of those plans and a drain on our resources as well to continually review those plans as they come in and as they give us 10 days to review it. So this is not going away just because the EIS is our response for the EIS. Plenty more work to come.
So through you, Mr. Mayor, can I just ask, was the community able to see our draft? Or,
absolutely.
Right, and did we receive any letters from the community about any inclusions?
Well, this is a letter on behalf of council. This response is on behalf of council,
yeah.
Not on behalf of landowners. They need to make their own submissions.
Thank you.
So, yes, whilst it's publicly available, it was in the agenda for the council open business, which we made sure that was the case. As we said in the disclaimer of the document, it's still very much in draft,
yep.
And the time frames around in which we have to finalise the review, draft the report, have a council meeting, and finalise the assessment, all very tight, so still very much in draft. And Randall will be very busy over the next few days getting that finalised.
Thank you.
No further questions? Do we have a mover and a seconder?
So just on that, Ash, through you, Mr. Mayor, the recommendation is that it would be submitted for consideration. So there's a couple of points that you'd like to raise, which is You mentioned about the, for want of a better term, the flood displacement as a result of the level crossings. The consideration for moving in farm machinery, a lot of slow lane or something around those level crossings for farm machinery to get around without being a burden on traffic flow, and then also fencing between the rail line and council's roads. Look at those 3 points.
Oh, great.
Just the other one too, David, we discussed this morning on the 1 in 100 year flood levels.
Yes.
There's no recognition of that. Recent data that they've used.
Yes. I think that's well made in the submission, but it's certainly a concern that they need to address.
The local towns have all got 100 years rainfall. Going back to 66 or so.
That's right.
So there's a recommendation in the draft report be endorsed with the inclusion of local participation, 1 in 100 year flood levels, slow lanes at
level crossings.
At level crossings.
Slow lanes at level crossings.
Aiding the movement of farm machinery. Fencing standards on rail lines. Join the council by the way.
Local participation.
Yeah.
Okay. Do I have a mover and a seconder for that?
Councillor Mudford.
Councillor Mudford. Councillor Ridley. No further speakers for or against. All those in favour?
Aye.
Thank you, councillors. Just move on to the second item in today's business paper, which is in regards to the submission to the New South Wales Legislative Assembly inquiry in regards to Inland Rail Project in regional New South Wales. Mr. Neves, I assume yourself and Mr. Cookie tag team on this one again, provide us with an update.
Yeah, well, I'll throw to Randall on this one. But I think the report's pretty straightforward as to what we do, what the terms of reference is in relation from the state, and what we feel as though are the important things that meet those terms of references.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. The intention, as I've looked through the terms of reference, is essentially to explore what New South Wales' role or what opportunities there are for economic development in Inland Rail. And I think it's important that, in addition to what we've highlighted here, that impacted communities potentially aren't seeing the same level of investment as some other identified communities. As an example, the special activation precincts have seen massive investment by the state government, yet greenfield corridors have had not as much investment. And I realise there's significant pros and cons and formulas about how that investment's dished out, but I would see that greenfield alignment communities are at a bit of an economic development disadvantage at the moment. So I think we need to highlight that in addition to all the things that that are in the report there.
Yeah, to add to that, whilst it's a bit loose in the terms of reference where it fits into other related matters, we would like to make reference to the demands on state agencies through this, whether it be policing levels, ambulance levels, all of a sudden you have all these additional people in to the community. Whilst we're raising it as part of the EIS submission, I think it doesn't hurt to throw it back at the state as well to say, hope you're thinking about this, particularly around the supply of emergency services, police, ambulance, and also our hospitals and the impacts to GP clinics.
Anyone got any further questions in regards to that? When's that due?
The 4th, so...
It's due by the 4th as well.
The 4th Thursday, the submission for the New South Wales government's due.
Yep.
And the EIS submission is due on the 7th, which is Sunday.
Yeah, okay. No further questions, councillors? have a mover, a seconder for that one.
Yep.
Councillor Mockler. Councillor Batten.
Name in the books on me.
All those in favour?
Aye.
Aye. Well, that concludes today's extraordinary meeting, which I'll declare closed at 4:22 or thereabouts. And